Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to do a quick rundown. I've been doing a ton of training camp stuff. I don't find it super, super useful to, you know, to do a breakdown of you know, some one-on-one routes and stuff. So it's just not really super valuable. But I have noticed some things that have been popping up usage-wise and maybe team-wise. So just some thoughts here. If you're setting waivers, if you're thinking about some trade offers, those sorts of things that I think he's sliding a little under the radar. Lots of Kenny Galladay leading he's the leading receiver. It's Kenny Galladay, it's Kadarius Toney and Wandale Robinson in the slot. No Darius Slayton, so I don't think we're banking much on any of the Giants wide receiving core, but I think if Galladay's a potential buy low, something like that. We'll see there. Kadarius Toney in there involved, you know, up and down reports on him. But I do think a lot of Kenny Galladay, healthy Kenny Galladay, is certainly an interesting, depth innings eater type. If you're looking to just try and accumulate some targets, Daniel Bellinger starting tight end for the Giants. So he's a guy that might be out there in some waiver wires, or might be out there if you're doing like late rookie draft, something like that, third, fourth round, that you might be interested in. Potentially, you know, getting a starting job. You know, maybe it's a waiver flyer type deal. Benjamin, running back 2 in Arizona. So that's something that's consistently been kind of there. I don't think it's necessarily a Darrell Williams. He's going to take Darrell Williams' roster spot, but it looks like he's in line for the running back 2 spot. So I did a quick search in my league season. Maybe he's available in like 10%, something like that. Just sort of eyeballing it. So I would add him, you know, a couple percent, something like that. I would add him as an injury away guy, would sort of be my thought there. I don't think he's an overwhelming talent, but, you know, overwhelming talent doesn't much matter at the running back position if you're going to get, you know, 15 to 20 touches in the game. And I think that's potential for him. I still like Darrell Williams kind of long term. I would be hard pressed probably to cut Darrell Williams for Eno Benjamin at any point until I actually see that come to fruition. So Geno Smith over Drew Lock was what Pete Carroll said over the weekend. So I think that's notable. DJ Shark doing well with Jared Goff. I cover the Detroit Lions for Football Guys, and Jared Goff, very positive, very, very positive in a way that wasn't positive last year. Positive in terms of stretching the field that didn't happen last year. Positive in terms of understanding the offense. And I don't want to say that didn't happen last year, but this is just a new kind of more in-depth understanding of it. And honestly, like, they've got toys to play with. Like, it's like trying to put together, you know, Legos when all you've got is like, you know, like the square blocks, right? Like, well, if you got a lot of other things, you know, I'm not a huge Lego guy, but I know that they come in like different shapes and you can sort of move them around and like attach things to each other and all this stuff. Like, yeah, like you can actually make some stuff instead of like a square box, which is like the Legos that I would do. I wasn't very much a Legos guy, but yeah, so that's, they have pieces to play with. Shark, Amon-Ra St. Brown. We'll see. Jameson Williams probably not going to be involved early on. They've been sort of coy about that. I don't think we're going to get a ton of information about that. But this is a team, it wouldn't surprise me if they're good. Like, I'm interested. So, so that's that. I just have Brandon Ayuk's an animal was the note that I noted. Kyle Shanahan's been drooling on himself. I mean, he was very effusive in his praise of Brandon Ayuk. He told a really interesting story about how when Ayuk came in, he was just very shy. I don't know if he used the word shy, but he described shy. And he basically said, you know, he wouldn't, you know, he wasn't that talkative. He was just quiet, kept to himself. And you didn't know, like, it's kind of, it can be tough to read that person. And I generally agree with that. Like, it can be tough to read someone that's not super engaging, right? Are they just not engaging, or is that just, you know, they're, you know, some social stuff, or, you know, are they hating their experience? Like, what is it about them that's going on right now? And he said he really kind of came out of his shell. And he would just stop into the office and be like, "Hey coach, what's going on?" Or, you know, he went up to Jed York, who's the owner, and was like just talking to him. Like, it just, like, in the middle of last season, it was just interesting to sort of hear that. And that mirrored, I guess, or that tracked, I guess, with the development of him and sort of him breaking out as a player second half of last year. So I thought that was interesting, and it maybe an insight into some stuff that we don't get that type of information, but that often. But when you sort of get the, yeah, hey, like, here's the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, that can be super helpful and something to draw from. So but yeah, looking good and you know, the getting the best sort of publicity or whatever out of the 49ers for camp. So good there. Some tweets here from Pete Sweeney. He covers the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes first team reps saw heavy doses of Kelce, Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Mecole Hardman. Andy Reid let Mahomes rip some deep balls. Not surprising. That's my editorial. Justin Watson and Hardman had drops before Hardman brought one in. The note continues, Sky Moore continues to see orchestrated looks out of the backfield, similar in a way to how the Chiefs used Hardman toward the end of last season. So interesting there that Sky Moore has gotten some love, but isn't really being used as a true first team wide receiver yet. So that's something we're going to have to monitor there as the time goes along. Might be a little bit of a slow start. He might be a buy low type candidate. Kansas City's running back core on the depth chart: CEH, McKinnon, Rojo, Pacheco. I thought that McKinnon one was interesting. Maybe a dollar or two there. A couple of quarterback things of note. Daniel Jones has had a really hard time in camp. It has gone so far as to Dan Schneider, who covers them. I wonder if and this is a quote from his tweet, and this is on Monday. I wonder if this the neck injury Daniel Jones suffered last year is impacting him. Seeing him three rows away last Friday night, the ball came out worse than I've ever seen, both velocity and ball placement. From the camp videos I've seen, it's hard to tell. And this is retweeting a tweet that says, major struggle for Jones in the offense. He had two interceptions, one in the deep pass. He floated and gave Xavier McKinney time to get over on it. An overthrow that was caught by Adoree Jackson, all out of sorts all day. I don't know how much to read into the following statement, so just sort of caveat this, and I will caveat it with what I think you should do in a second here. Tyrod Taylor came in and took a rogue snap. I don't know why that happened. No one seemed to know why that happened. But it was in a situation where he was with the first team and he hadn't really been taking first team snaps, but he took a first team snap and then sort of things went back to normal, whatever. Just something to watch. I think if I was sort of looking, I'm sort of going through some spots on rosters, and I'll use an example that I'm using. If I'm thinking about cutting Latavius Murray or Devonta Freeman from last year, right? Or Duke Johnson's a guy I have a bunch of, right? Like Ty Johnson, I have a bunch of. I'm just sort of going through and I'm cutting some of these guys now as we get some more information. Just cycling through those types of players. You might want to just put a buck in on Tyrod Taylor. Put a couple bucks in on Tyrod Taylor and just stash him for the immediate term. I'm not sure if we're going to get the quick reveal on that, if it's going to be, if it's week two and Daniel Jones just falling apart. I'm not sure. There's just enough there that gives me a little bit of pause. There's a lot of Bills connections there. And, you know, that's sort of reuniting some of the Bills connections. It's a generation past of the Bills there. But you, you know, I just, I'm interested to see that. And I think that he's one that, I don't know if he's a great fit for this offense, but we've seen him be useful before. So if you're looking for a depth option, especially in like super flex, if it's even in like a, you know, a medium depth super flex, something like that, there's a chance that a guy like Tyrod Taylor's out there. I would check and, you know, really think critically about the back end of your roster, because I think he's a guy that could potentially help you at some point here over the next couple of months. The other one I've seen a little bit of mixed reports on. I'm not super concerned about this. Jameis Winston rolled his ankle. It looks like it's okay. If you are doing waivers and you're sort of hearing this, you got to put waiver claims in, like look up the news on Jameis and just see how he's doing. It might be worth a buck on Andy Dalton if he's available. I know he's available in some of my super flex leagues. It might be worth a buck on him just to sort of float that along and see sort of where we're at. And, you know, if next week comes around and Jameis is fine and, you know, Andy Dalton's not any sort of threat to play, just kick the can on Andy Dalton and just use him as like a backup running back, right? That would be something that I might think about as well. So Tyrod, Andy Dalton, two guys I'm thinking about doing that with this week. All right, some more stuff from Daniel Jones. Now I mentioned the thing about his neck there. So yeah, that's the thing there with him. Okay. Let's see. The Cardinals with Eno Benjamin just being the two. Yep, mentioned that. Let's see a couple more here. Broncos offensive coordinator running backs will be on a pitch count this season. There's talk about rotating them. He has a history of rotating them, including going back to Green Bay, and as well as in Atlanta. He was part of that Atlanta Freeman. Tevin Coleman committee there. So be careful. You know, this is in Javonte Williams, by the way. You know, everyone's always going to get 75-80% of work. It's been 54-46 in terms of their split between Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. The first team looks pretty close to an even, dead on even split. That's a catastrophe at running back six in year two for Javonte Williams. All right, one last one here before we wrap this up, just as a maybe a more of a humor piece. Lots of talk out there that the Panthers are shopping Sam Darnold. I'm told it's not accurate. This is Joe Person, at Joseph Person on Twitter. I'm told that it's not accurate. I'm sure they would listen, as Scott Fitterer does on everyone, but that $18.8 million is going to be tough to move. No kidding. Like, no kidding. And they're just, because it's just sunk cost, right? Yeah, you know, it's tough to move. Like, you know, we want to move it. Like, you're not going to be able to move that contract, and all you're doing is hamstringing your future because you're sunk. You're fighting about sunk costs of the past. Move on, cut bait. And he's not your answer, and he's not going to be a solution. Like, this is already an indication that Baker Mayfield's won this job. Like, you should be every snap should be an evaluation of Baker Mayfield or of Matt Corral, right? And you know, they just keep sort of shooting themselves in the foot, which we've talked about isn't super surprising. So, all right, so there's some things I hope are valuable. By the way, one last one. I was untruthful about this. I made a mistake. I said that I would do. I was done. I'm not done giving you more. Jonnu Smith was leading in terms of targets and in terms of first-team reps. Dallas Goedert as well for their teams. Good for Goedert. Jonnu Smith is interesting. Right, officially interesting. He actually was a waiver wire claim for me in a tight end premium league earlier this offseason. Crazy stuff. I've tried for force, no luck. If you have a solution, if you have a problem at tight end and you need to take a shot, a third rounder on Jonnu Smith right now might not be the worst bet. So just keep, that's one last one to keep in mind there on that, because I think two names at the tight end position that are worth are really important. Goddard specifically for us, but also I think Jonnu Smith being a potential buy low candidate. Again, if he doesn't pay off anything, it's a third round pick. If he's valuable, like, that could actually be good. So, and it's a new offense, right? There's some hiccups going on with this offense. There's problems with the offense. It's not going well, as some of the reports, but Jonnu Smith is amongst the leaders in terms of their receiving stuff early on in camp. I'm officially interested. So, especially at a deep depressed cost. All right, that'll do it. I think that's like the third time I've ended the show. So we're going to do that now. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.